In a few minutes for the reading of the Word of God, but good morning, everyone. How is everyone today? Hallelujah. It's good to see all of you in church. I hope you're glad to be in church. Amen. We're in God's house. We're in our Father's house. Hallelujah. No one stood at the door with a gun or chains and said, you can't come in. We freely came. No one drugged me here. Hallelujah. We have the freedom. There's a lot of people that don't have that today. Glory to God. Glory to God. I hope you're all glad to be here. I'm just going to jump right into the Word. I'm excited to have been asked by the pastor as he's absent from this pulpit this morning. So I want to talk to you, and if you'll take your Bibles and stand, let's just read some scripture and go ahead and I'll let you stand, and then after that you can be seated, and I covet your prayers. I'm always a little nervous, but I have been before the Lord, and I've been in His Word today, I just prepared this morning on the way. But I thank God for His Spirit and for His Holy Word. Let's read Paul's writing, and then I'm going to be in some other scriptures you don't have to turn to. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, read with me. For Paul said, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Father, we come to You today. You're the very reason that we're standing here this morning, even in this house, in this place that You freely brought us to. I thank You for the grace of the Lord Jesus, the Spirit of a living God, for where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Cause Your people to be free this morning. Anoint our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Bless as Your word goes forth. Cause people to be saved this morning and set free by the power of Your holy word. And for everything that is done, we will give You praise. Amen. You may be seated. I hope you're going to run with me this morning. We take the word. One of the Psalms says, great was the company that published it. The Lord gave the word. Hallelujah. And it should excite us. I want to talk about chosen things. God hath chosen. So from the very first day that David was anointed king by the prophet Samuel to rule over God's people, he faced opposition. Amen. This world and this world's system is in direct opposition to anyone anointed by God. Anyone that God has placed their hand upon. Any of the people of God. This world is in opposition to God's word, to God's plan. Amen. Don't think because you've gotten saved that it's going to be easy street. We're not going to be walking on a primrose path. We have just signed up for a battle. Glory to God. But He is the one that causes us to win. Praise God. So when David was anointed and when he faced opposition, it was because God had anointed him. The giant was not a problem for David. Neither were the Philistines or the Amalekites. They weren't a problem. He jumped right in and fought. Hallelujah. They weren't a problem. They were the obvious foes. But the very man that that young David respected and revered wanted to kill him. King Saul had backslidden. The very man that God once anointed to be king over his people had backslidden. And the very man that David revered invited him to the palace to come and play with his harp, play with a cunning hand. Amen. That's the one that wanted to kill David. Saul even took on two occasions, took a javelin and threw it. He said, I will smite him to the wall. But David escaped out of the way. On more than one occasion, Saul feared David. The Bible says that Saul eyed David. He was jealous with a vicious jealousy. Why? Because God had anointed David, and he knew that at some point David was going to take his place. Saul tried to, in a number of occasions, trap David or ensnare him and sending people into his life. He even sent one of his daughters and said, you can marry my daughter. But he had instructed her to try to ensnare him and trap him. But it never worked because of David's anointing. God chose a young boy out of a household of eight brothers to be king. He was the least. He was the youngest. They even despised him. God chose this musician, this poet, this singer to be king. It didn't look like he really fit the job. He was out keeping his father's sheep. David was actually out doing the job of a servant. But he did it with gladness of heart. These are my father's sheep. And he was willing to risk his own life to keep them. But David wasn't the obvious person for this particular position. Paul said, the base things of the world, the things which are despised, hath God chosen. Jesus Christ was anointed by God with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. But that very anointing, the very calling, is what got him in, took him to the cross, actually, because he was hated. He was pure, but he was hated. But God chose him. God sent him to be crucified. God is the one that ordered his steps. Do you know that you're chosen today? If you're born again, do you know you're chosen? Do you believe God's hand's on you? Do you believe the Spirit of the Lord dwells inside this frail mortal body? Glory to God. For the despised things of the world. Amen. God's looking for obedience. We don't necessarily have a choice in the matter when we were born into the world. But God has raised us up for such an hour as today that we're living in. Glory to God. God raised us up for such a time as this to obey his word. Amen. God has chosen us. Alligood. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want to do what God's called me to do. God has chose David to be king. God did the choosing. God did the calling. And the need made room for that calling. The need made room. If Saul had been obedient, God would have kept him in that place. But the scripture says that he rejected him from being king. And the prophet even told him that God has chosen your neighbor who is better than you. That's what the Bible says. Amen. Israel was in a quandary. Saul had been disobedient to the word of God, and God rejected him from being king. Now there's a vacancy. See, King Saul knew what it was like to be chosen. He knew what it was like to be anointed. Amen. Despite the anointing, he moved in deliberate disobedience. See, God's anointing doesn't keep us from making choices. Hallelujah. God's anointing doesn't just cause us to walk in perfection. It's his favor, it's his calling, it's because of obedience that we have the anointing. It won't cause us to make right decisions. This word will keep us making right decisions. Hallelujah. It's a dangerous thing to disregard God's commandments. Hallelujah. People, it's a dangerous thing. Mordecai, in the book of Esther, told Esther, when the Jews were about to be annihilated, he said, think not that just because you're in the palace that you're exempt from the annihilation that's about to come. If you don't speak up, you and your father's house will be destroyed. Just because you're in the palace, just because you're in the church. Jesus even said in John 15, he said, I am the true vine. You're the branches. And just because we're branches doesn't mean that we're automatically going to bear fruit. Jesus said, the one that doesn't bear fruit, what happens? He's going to cut it away. And if you're bearing fruit, you're going to be pruned so you can bear more fruit. But if a dead branch is out there on the vine, clip. And then it said that men gather them and cast them into the fire. Jesus said, I am the vine. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit. That's strong. Okay. God cuts it away. Just because we're in the branch, just because our family's been in church for generations, just because we've been in this church and we helped to finance or we helped to do whatever, doesn't guarantee spiritual success. Obedience to the calling. We cannot just exist. We cannot just come to church. Hallelujah. There's got to be some kind of life and fervor on the inside of us. Hallelujah. If we've been redeemed by the blood of a lamb, we're not the same that we used to be. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Just because we're attached to the vine doesn't guarantee spiritual success, obedience to the calling. Despite the anointing on Saul's life, and the fact that he was anointed by the prophet did not guarantee his success as the king of Israel. He was disobedient to God's holy word. Glory to God. You and I are not expected this morning to just kind of come and exist and be here. We must come, and if we're going to hear the word, which you're hearing the word today, we're accountable for what we hear. We can't just take it and toss it out. Well, I really can't. The pastor wasn't there today. I don't know. Whatever. But I mean, when we hear the word of God, we're accountable for what we hear. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Once we hear the word, once we hear truth, we must act on truth. We must take truth. We must love truth. Amen. We must thank God for truth because Jesus is truth. Hallelujah. Let him be Lord of your life today. Today is a day of salvation. Amen. Tomorrow might be too late. And there's only one truth. One truth. And that truth is a person, and his name is Jesus. Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Hallelujah. There's only one door to God. Jesus is that door. And when we go to that door, we must come and repent before him. Repent of our sins. Because the Bible says that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus even said, there is none good, no, not one. Hallelujah. We've all sinned. We're all born in that sin nature. And we must repent of our sins and we come to Jesus. That's why he died on the cross. All have sinned. Jesus himself said, I'm the door of the sheepfold. And if anyone doesn't go through this door, Jesus said, the same is a thief and a robber. That's what he said. He's the door. I think I'd rather go to the door than try to climb in some other way into the sheepfold and fall over. Well, Paul's writing. And 1 Corinthians, he says that God has chosen the foolish things. God has chosen the foolish things of the world. And human thinking and the way this world thinks, they look at high and mighty and educated and influential people. People that have been successful at things and they're able to speak and they've written books or they've done whatever they've done. And I mean, you can applaud that. But God says, no, 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 no. Chosen the base things of the world. The foolish things of the world. When the prophet Samuel went to Jesse's home in Bethlehem, God said to the prophet, go down to Jesse's house. I have chosen a king. All right? So he says, fill thine horn with oil and go. So he goes, and the whole place is shook up. Have you come peaceably? Yes, I've come peaceably. Bring a sacrifice. We're going to go down and we're going to have church. Hallelujah. So when he comes in, the prophet even said, call all of your sons. But guess who wasn't called? Little David was being a servant. He probably didn't know anything about it. He might have been on his harp, shooting with a slingshot. I don't know. But he's out there with the sheep. He's doing his job. He was good at it. But when Eliab, the eldest, comes by, and God said, look not on his outward countenance, I have not chosen this. And the next son, I think it's Abinadab, and then the next son, and God, you know, the Bible said that Jesse brought them out. Here's my boy. Here's my boy. I'm sure they were tall, handsome, good-looking, maybe educated. I don't know. But he was a leader in the community, so I'm so sure his sons were viable-looking men. God said, I have not chosen these. And the prophet said, are here all thy children? He said, you know what he said? There remaineth yet the youngest. Like he's an afterthought. He's out keeping the sheep. The prophet said, go get him. We won't sit until he comes. And when this young man came in, the Holy Ghost said to the prophet, arise. This is he. And immediately in front of all of his brothers, he took that horn of oil and poured it over his head. God anointed him from that day forward. And the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came on him from that day forward. He didn't look like much. He was probably a teenager. Ruddy. The Bible said of a beautiful countenance. We coming to have church, okay. And he was anointed. I know in front of all his brethren, they even despised him. Poor bunch. But God anointed him. We need that same Holy Spirit today, church. Oh, glory to God. Oh, I have so many things running through my mind I want to say. The base things, the things that are despised, hath he chosen. Hallelujah. It is so opposite of how the world operates. People work hard for promotion. People work hard for recognition. People work hard for their finances, for money, and for advancement. That's, I mean, I'll go ahead and applaud that if you want. But what I want to know is, as if he's chosen me, I want to be filled with his Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I want to do what he's called me to do. May not look like much to some people, but I'm his child. Glory to God. I believe King Saul expected things just to happen his way. He got used to giving out orders. He got used to telling people where to go and where to come and hither and yon. He got used to all that. He made the decisions. He decided who's going to go here and where and whatever. But when the Philistine army came out to fight the Israelis, and they're in this valley, and the battle's hot, and they're going at it, and then for days, here comes Goliath. When the Philistine army came to meet him, Saul was behind a rocky hill on the hill, out in that valley. The leader, the king, he should have been in the battle. Come on, buddy. Where are your military strategies getting you? Where are your smarts now? I mean, for real. This man came out and he's cursing the God of Israel. And he's cursing the armies of Israel. 40 days long, they had to listen to this beast out there. And guess who comes along? David came along, but now what? Now what's he going to do? Saul, come on, where's your military tactics? People, when it's all said and done, here today in America, this thing that we're in is called a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle. All that is on the political front, all is in this cultural battle, and it's real. They want abortion. They don't care what you think about it. They don't care about your God. They don't care what you think. They want their lifestyle, the perverted lifestyle, as perverted as you can get. There's a cultural battle. The situation that we see in Israel today. So what about us here in Eastern North Carolina, here in America? How are we going to win when all hell breaks loose around us? How are we going to win? How are we expected to stand? How are we going to stand when it's blowing against us if the Lord should tarry? The only way we're going to do it, the prophet Zechariah said, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It's not by might, it's not by your money, it's not by your planning, your strategizing, your possessions, your status in life, it's not by your education. Those things are wonderful. I'm not knocking that. But we need the Holy Ghost of heaven to give us wisdom in these last days, to anoint us to speak the word in season and out of season. Glory to God. If we're going to be able to stand, it won't be by our own strength. It won't be by our own smarts. We need the Spirit of God dwelling inside these earthen vessels of clay, glory to God. It's not by might. Our military, thank God for the military. Thank God for our law enforcement. But we're not going to be able to depend on human tactics. If you and I are going to be saved, and we don't have an ongoing walk, an ongoing, fruitful, vibrant walk with the Lord daily, we need to check in today. We need to check in with Him. We're in a spiritual battle. We are in a spiritual battle. Don't think that the enemy's just going to kind of bypass the Alligood Church of God. Don't think he's going to bypass your home. The Lord knows who are his. Holy Ghost, help us today. Help us in these last days, oh my God. We're in a spiritual battle. It's light and darkness. Which side are you on? You and I are not in the win the battle for ourselves. The enemy is after your very soul. the cost of being despised by the world around us, at the cost of being despised by the world around us. I know I've seen changes in the job, on campus, in the workplace. We need the Lord. Trust me, at some point in your life and in my life, we're going to need Him. We need Him. I need Him right now. The very reason my heart is beating right now is because of Almighty God. And yours too. When David saw the Philistine armies and that giant Goliath taunting the armies of Israel, he was righteously indignant. He was angry. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? He didn't get back and say, oh, I see. I mean, he rev right up. He didn't even ask for permission from the king. He said, I'll fight him. What happens to the man that takes this Philistine down? He wasn't even worried about all that he's going to give you. His daughter's going to give you gold. He's going to give you apparel, all of his wonderful things. He didn't care about that. He wanted to take out this Philistine that was defying the armies of the living God. He got 5 smooth stones. He had, Saul said, come here, boy, we got to put this on you. David said, I haven't proved this. Get it off me. The Bible says he hasted and ran to the Philistine. Glory to God. That is glorious to me. And then a giant comes, 9 feet plus. David shot that thing. Poof. He didn't reach in for another one. And that giant fell on his face. And David ran out there. Jumped on top of him. Pulled his sword out. And cut his head off. Hallelujah. Oh, and then everybody saw. And the battle goes in. And the Israelites run down in there anyway. Something about us should be indignant. Righteously indignant. I know there's a lot I don't like going on today, but there's a whole lot going on. I don't even like to watch the news. Because I get angry. But if I have the Spirit of God dwelling in me and I pray about it and I just see the enemy doesn't want us to pray. Right. We need to lock it in somehow. We kind of get drifting hither and yon. Oh, we need to pray. Remember, God does the choosing. God does the delivering. David said, the Lord delivered me out of the paw of the bear. The Lord delivered me out of the paw of a lion. And the Lord is going to deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Why could David say that? Because God had anointed him. Hallelujah. And he was right where God wanted him. He was in the place God called. God didn't just say, hey, Dave, go on up there, man. There's going to be a battle. No, he goes up obedient to his father. And he's like, what is going on? And stepped right in and took the enemy down. See, we have to understand that if he has saved us, his Holy Spirit dwells within us. And if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, I strongly admonish you to be filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, because that is a gift, not an option. We must be filled with the Holy Ghost. We need the power of God. We're not just going to fly on our own. Well, Sister So-and-so did it when we go, well, Brother So-and-so, he just, you know, we could just, no. We need to be deliberate. God does the choosing. You could stand. You could stand. And Sister Ellen, if, singers, if y'all feel like, come on up, I'd love a little help. And we'll, God does the choosing. God does the calling. God does the promoting. We can't promote ourselves. I didn't ask to be a minister. I just loved the Lord. And I mean, it was sort of a, I knew he called me. And years ago, I went through some papers last night and found October 18 of 1995. I preached my first message. It was a Wednesday night in Vanceboro, and there were 11 people there. I didn't care. Holy Ghost, Holy Mahashiala Makwasiala Mande. Will you reverence him in the house? Just for a few minutes. Oh Yabaka Shatiala Labake. Mighty God of heaven. We stand before you today. Recognizing our need for you every moment of our lives. Oh my God, every breath we breathe, every step we take, we need you, Lord. Cover this church, cover your people. Oh, Yabahaya, God. Give us wisdom. Cause us to run after wisdom, oh Lord.